Take just a moment to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. We'll look at that passage in just a moment. It's great to see everyone here today. We have some sunshine in the state of Arkansas. Woohoo! That's exciting. Not something we've seen in a while. It's a beautiful day. An exciting day to be out and be together as a family of God. And first things first, little kids, all the little kids, I need you to look at me real quick. I need everybody's attention. Some very important information. Miss Mimi Glover is not here today. So you are going to have to raid and pillage and plunder elsewhere because Miss Ann don't have nothing in her purse. So you're going to have to go to Miss Phyllis, I guess, and it's just gum today. So she hopes to be here tonight, I hear, with a full stash of goodies. But anyway, we hope she starts feeling better today. Here in Exodus chapter 14, we've got the children of Israel who are coming out of bondage. They have been in bondage in Egypt for generations of people, and God, through Moses, has allowed His people to be set free. They are supposed to be journeying on to the land that God had promised and swore to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob that He would give to their descendants, but they're not out of Egypt yet. And they, as they leave town, Pharaoh, if you can imagine this, has a change of heart. Pharaoh, who once said, okay, finally, it's okay for your people to go, he's had a change of heart. And he is now in hot pursuit of the children of Israel. He is going after them, chasing them down. And that presents a major problem because the children of Israel had been heading in the direction. They're following the cloud now. Remember, the angel of the Lord is going on before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the angel of the Lord is the one that's guiding and directing their paths. And the angel has been out in front of them up until this point and leading them. And it just so happens that He's led them to the place where the Red Sea is before them. Well, that poses a problem because how do you get a million people or so to cross over a body of water? Well, that's not going to happen quickly. And what does happen quickly is a bunch of trained soldiers in chariots being pulled by horses in hot pursuit of an enemy. And so they have a real big problem on their hands. And so let's pick up in reading in verse 13, where the Lord tells Moses what to do. He tells Moses what he's going to do. It says, "But Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land. As for me, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen." The instruction of God is, what are you doing? Go forward. And this would have been a really great time for Israel, if they were thinking it, to say, forward is actually into the sea, Lord. How are we expected to go forward when there's a great body of water there, and we have this great number of people, and we got to get everybody safely across to the other side? And it almost seems like God is surprised that Moses hasn't already done this. It's almost as if he's surprised that they stopped at the body of water. Because he says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. Just part the waters, Moses. Stretch out your hand, part the waters. Israel will go through on dry land. Go forward. And I want you to notice what happens next. It says, the angel of God who had been going before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was the cloud along with the darkness. Yet it gave light at night. Thus the one did not come near the other all night. And so the angel of God has been out in front of them, leading and guiding them step by step, day by day. And now that cloud has been moved. It's not before them anymore. It's now behind them. And it has formed a barrier wall, and it is keeping separate the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And it's kept them separate all night long. This is a very effective thing that's going on here. Egypt can't get to them. And so as God's instruction to the children of Israel is to go forward, even in the midst of obstacles, this body of water that is forming a boundary to the forward direction, and then the enemy that's coming from behind. When you're moving in a direction, where are you most vulnerable? You're vulnerable from an attack that comes up behind you. And now it says that the angel of God has formed a wall there and kept them separate so that the children of Israel would have time to remove the obstacle and to actually move forward. There's a couple of passages in the book of Isaiah that I'd like for us to read this morning. Isaiah chapter 52 would be the first one. As you're turning there, let's just talk and think just for a moment about the book of Isaiah as a whole. A lot of wicked things went on in the days of Isaiah, and as a result of what was going on in Israel and Judah, especially during the time of Jeremiah, they were going to be carried away into captivity. And Isaiah writes as if those things have already happened. He writes as if they are already in bondage in Babylon, that they have been taken captive. And really, the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah talk a lot about God's judgment and His punishment on Judah, the fact that they will be carried away into captivity. And then the last 27 chapters of the book of Isaiah really talk a lot about God's deliverance, about His bringing the people out of bondage and making them His people once again, bringing them back into their land. But even more so, Isaiah foreshadowing and pointing forward to, prophesying about the time when a Messiah would come, a suffering servant who would come and deliver them not just from Babylonian bondage, but from the bondage of sin. And in chapter 52, I want you to notice that the Lord speaks to them and draws their attention back to the time when they were in bondage in Egypt. Look in chapter 52, verse 3. "For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to reside there. Then the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people have been taken away without cause? Again, the Lord declares, those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, I am the one who is speaking. Here I am." And he goes on to speak to them, and I want you to skip down to verse 11, and I want you to notice what he says about the day when they will come forth, the day when they will leave this Babylonian bondage and begin their trek back to the land that had been given to their ancestors, and more, even more so, the day when God's servant would cause them to prosper. He says in verse 11, "Depart, depart, go out from there, touch nothing unclean, go out of the midst of her, purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord, but you will not go out in haste, nor will you go out as fugitives, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." Isn't that interesting? As God speaks to them about their exit from Babylonian captivity, from this bondage to another nation, he uses the same imagery, the same language of what happened to Israel when they came out of Egyptian captivity. And it's this idea of the Lord God going before them, this pillar of cloud that was before them. And then when it was necessary, when they were in danger from the rear, that cloud circled around them and came and formed a wall and protected them as a rear guard. And God says, this is exactly what's going to happen when you come out of Babylon. But keep in mind that he's not just talking about people coming out of Babylon. He's talking about people coming out of sin, and he says the Lord's going to go before you. The Lord is going to, he's going to make that path. He's going to guide and direct your steps, and he's also going to protect the rear. He's going to be the rear guard for you as you go through this life. Moses had told the people that the people could go forward, because the Lord would go out before them and he would fight for them. He would fight their battle. And Isaiah is saying much the same thing. I want you to notice one other passage in Isaiah chapter 58. The first five or so verses, the people are kind of wondering where God's been all this time. They're kind of wondering why he hasn't been attentive to them, why he hasn't been listening to them. God says that they cry out loud to him. He says the people seek him day by day. Verse 3, they're asking, "Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice?" But God identifies what the problem was. The problem was is that their fasting was being done with the wrong motives, with the wrong intent. And so that's why he had not honored them. They had been fasting, verse 4, for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. And they fast to make their voice heard on high. You're fasting with the wrong motives, the wrong intent. And that's why I haven't been listening to you. Then he says later on in this chapter, look in verse 6, where God says, this is the kind of fast I'm looking for. This is what I want you to do. Is this not the fast which I choose? To loosen the bonds of wickedness? To undo the bands of the yoke? And to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring your homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? That's the fast God's looking for. That's the kind of heart that He sees and recognizes and honors. That's the kind of heart that He blesses. That's the kind of heart that He listens to when people approach Him with that kind of fast. The people in Isaiah's day had not been doing that. And I think we could probably say that we're probably not doing that. Not as well as we should be. God's looking for a different kind of heart in the people that are going to be named His people. And if those people are going to come out of captivity, they're going to come out of bondage, then they're going to have to do it in the way that God has prescribed, with the right heart that He's looking for. Notice what He says in verse 8. If we're going to fast in that way, we're going to set free the bonds of wickedness, we're going to break every yoke, we're going to do what we can to take care of the hungry and the homeless and the naked. He says in verse 8, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and He will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness, and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Same language. This time it's righteousness that is going out before us, and it is the glory of the Lord who is serving as the rear guard. What God wants for His people to do is to move forward. He wants them to move forward even in the face of many obstacles, obstacles that seem impossible. God's His instruction for His people coming out of Egypt, coming out of Babylon, coming out of Conway, coming out of sin, coming out of whatever it is, His instruction would be to move forward and to trust that the Lord is going out before us. He is leading and guiding us. He's fighting battles that we don't even know about yet. We just got to keep trusting and keep following and keep moving forward. And know also that we're protected by a great rear guard. That He's going to help us as we come out of that which tries to destroy us. He's going to help us as we come out of that which tries to drag us down and drag us backward. For the Israelites coming out of Egypt, it was the Egyptian army. It was Pharaoh trying to drag them back into bondage. With the Israelites coming out of Babylon, it was really their own sin that was going to try to jump up and grab them and drag them back. And God says, come out and be separate. Depart. Don't touch the things that are unclean. Move forward. Even in the midst of obstacles, the Lord is going to go before you, and He's also going to protect your rear. You know, one of the things that the Apostle Paul said that he had to do was he had to press on. And he had to press forward and he had to press upward. Because if there's one thing that we remember about the Apostle Paul is that he had a past. He had a pretty dark past. He had a past of which there was likely many nights where he felt ashamed of the things that he had done. And for good reason. He had done some dreadful things. Just awful things. And Paul says, I have to forget what's behind and move forward to what's ahead. You may be sitting here this morning with a past of your own. It may be even a past that you've been able to keep hidden from the rest of us for all this time. It may be that you've done some things. You've done some dreadful things, some awful things. Things about which you feel shame and regret and fear of those things being exposed or what the judgment might be for those things. The message for you, the message for all of us, is exactly the same as it was for Moses. It's exactly the same that it was for Isaiah and the people to whom he ministered. It's exactly the same today. The instruction is this: move forward. There's absolutely nothing you can do about what's in the past. And so if you're going to try to look back and adjust your course based on the things that you've done wrong in the past, you're going to be distracted by that. Satan's going to use that. God says, move forward. Will there be obstacles? Absolutely. And what should we do as soon as we come into contact with one of those obstacles? Move forward. Trust that God is not only going to be out before us, helping us, leading us, guiding us, but He's also going to be protecting us from our past. I think it's interesting that in chapter 52, he says that that God would be the rear guard. And in chapter 58, he says the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. The glory of the Lord. That's that same glory that Moses asked to see that one time. You remember that? Remember that time Moses said, show me your glory? And God says, no, you can't. Nobody can see my glory and live. And so just to catch a fraction of a glimpse of the glory of the Lord, Moses had to go hide in a rock and God had to cover him with his hand, and as he passed by, removed his hand, Moses just got to catch just a glimpse of the backside of God's glory as the only way he could see any of it and not die. You think about that for a minute. No man can look at the glory of the Lord and live. And that's what we have behind us, protecting our vulnerabilities from the past as we move forward. As we do what God has commanded us to do, to move forward, even in the midst of obstacles, knowing that the glory of the Lord is protecting us from the past. That same glory that filled that temple that Jay was talking about a little bit ago, that same glory that filled that temple so that nobody could physically fit into the temple because of the fullness of God's glory that filled that house. That is the one that is serving as the rear guard for you and me as we move forward. You know, David read for us a few moments ago about the beauty of the diversity that we have within the body of Christ. The people that have different talents, different abilities, different skills, different gifts. And how all of us need to be using those gifts to serve each other. One member suffers, we need to suffer with it. Who better to fast in the way that God has described than to be ready at all times to step up and serve another member of our body. All that is talking about removing the yoke, removing the pointing of the finger, removing the speaking of wickedness, giving yourself to the hungry, satisfying the afflicted. Who better to practice those things upon than the people who are seated here today? And especially the people who are part of this body who aren't able to be here today, or who just chose not to be here today. How are you going to move forward from today? You can't do anything about the past. You can't change one thing that you've done. You're where you are. You are where you are because of the decisions that you've made up to this point. And so how are you going to move forward? Because that's exactly what God wants you to do. It's time. Some of us likely have been sitting idly. We've been looking sideways, maybe even looking back. God says, why are you calling out to me? Move forward. Go through the obstacles. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll fight for you. Trust Him. Follow Him. How are you going to move forward today? It may be that moving forward for you means that you need to finally stop waiting around and finally make a decision that it's going to be Christ for you. That you're going to be following Him. That you really want to surrender yourself to Him. Moving forward for you may look like rendering obedience to God. It may look like being buried with Christ in baptism. Have your sins washed away. Letting God raise you up to walk in new life. Moving forward may be realizing just how far off course you have gotten. To realize how much of your life has been about you and what you wanted. And the desires that you had for yourself. Maybe moving forward for you means that you need to stop fasting for the reasons that the people fasted in Isaiah's day and to start fasting in the way that the Lord wants us to fast. I can't answer that question for you. You can. So I'll just leave you once more with that question. How are you going to move forward today? If there's any way we can help you move forward, we'd love for you to let us know. Some of our elders will be in the back. I'll be standing up front while we sing a song to encourage you to move forward.